blogtalkradio.com. You can interact with the show by calling 760-888-5749 or use the hashtag PWPRadio on Twitter. Here are your hosts, Jay Leno and Will TLD Vapidez.
Much I love Tuesday nights. We're on the air live right now, Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. What's up, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us right here tonight, Tuesday, September 24th, 2013. Wow, I can't believe I've been doing this for a little over a year. It's so much fun. We have a blast. This is episode number 53 officially of the show, and it's our independent wrestling hype show tonight. We're going to talk about independent wrestling a little bit. Will and I, who's not here, I think he's playing volleyball tonight, but he'll be joining us a little bit later, I'm sure. But Will and I went to a show Friday in Rahway, New Jersey. It was Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and they're one of the top independent wrestling organizations on the East Coast, maybe in the United States of America. Some great wrestlers came out to the show. Buff Bagwell fought Colt Cabana in just a fun match. The Big O was there. Jake the Snake Roberts appeared, gave two DDTs on the night. Count them, two DDTs. It was just a fun show. It was a great time. We also filmed Pro Wrestling Powerhouse TV, which should be up, you know, maybe tonight, maybe tomorrow. Whenever Will feels like doing his due diligence as my video guy, that's when the video will be up. We have interviews with Buff Bagwell, the Big O. Colt Cabana said no once again. That guy always says no to me. But, you know, no big deal. That's what happens. But tonight, at around 10 o'clock, we are going to have Jorge Santi from FWE, that's Family Wrestling Entertainment, in Brooklyn, New York. He's going into battle with our boy, our good friend, Rhett Titus on October 12th, 2013, just a few weeks away. And we're going to be in the house there as well, filming another episode of Pro Wrestling Powerhouse TV. Should be a great time. We should be having a lot of awesome interviews on that show. Tonight, man, I just want to have a good time. So if you want to call the show, please give us a buzz, 760-888-5749. Once again, 760-888-5749. I like to do this every once in a while. I like to just kind of keep it low key, just relax a little bit, and just, you know, remember why we're all doing this, because we love professional wrestling. We love this game. And I'm going to bring in my co-host tonight. He is the man with the master plan and coach. We'll be right back.
Clothesline, power slam, forearm, torture rack, five moves of doom, WCW, get at me, Luger for life. Okay, I'm done.
Yo, Lex Luger's the man, dude. I got to tell you a little bit. We had him on the show, obviously, about a month ago or so, and he was an awesome interview. But I was talking to Buff Bagwell this past Friday night. Once again, it was great to see Buff in New Jersey for the first time ever. But I talked to him a little bit about weightlifting. Everybody knows I'm a weightlifting enthusiast, even though I've been kind of slacking off the past few days. But I asked Buff, I said, hey, Buff, man, any kind of weightlifting tips? What's your routine like? He told me the same exact thing Lex told me. He said, you get into the gym, you hit a body part as hard as you can. You just wreck that body part, and then you get your ass out of the gym. So if you're going to do chest, pump your chest up. Lift heavy, lift hard, get the hell out, go eat a meal, go drink a protein shake, do what you got to do to make sure you're still anabolic and getting, you know, stuff. Buff Bagwell said the same thing. He goes, you know, me and Lex went up and down the roads, gym to gym, all over the country. We built our bodies all over the country, whereas I'm stuck in a shitty Planet Fitness down the road. Speaking of that, I want to get the hell away from Planet Fitness. You know what I'm saying, Toph?
Yeah, I feel you there.
You go to Planet Fitness?
It's interesting you brought up Buff Bagwell. I always thought that his tag team with Scott Norton, I still remember Vicious and Delicious. I thought that was a decent mid-card tag team. I thought they should have had a run with the belts. You know, like most guys that joined the B team, you know, the NWO B team, so many people joined NWO, it just kind of got eye-rolling, but I thought they were cool. And I always remember that horrible injury he had on Thunder, just very uncomfortable to watch to this day. But, I grew up as a WCW fan, but just because I grew up a fan doesn't mean I won't criticize them. What always kind of worried me as a kid, I don't know if you remember that injury, but when he injured himself, they kept showing, like, the ring, and they kept showing the injury. I always thought it would have been more respectful to just kind of, you know, keep the camera, like, on the crowd or just show some promos or vignettes to pass the time. I mean, obviously technology wasn't advanced then as it is now, but, you know, I think if I learned a lesson from watching that. If I ever became a wrestling promoter, I would always have some, you know, extra vignettes, promos ready to air just in case something like that happens. And, you know, you always want to focus the camera on the crowd. It's just kind of unsettling to see someone just laying lifeless in the ring. What do you think?
Oh, you know what? I agree 100%. And Buff actually brought that up to us when we were talking to him. And you'll see it on the interview that Will did with him because he suffered his second broken neck in that car accident he just had a couple of years ago. And he made a great comeback. He looks in tremendous shape. But I agree with you. You got to remember, though, it was a sign of the times back then. You're talking that whole Attitude Era type deal, the NWO, all that stuff, where when he suffered that broken neck, WCW is doing whatever they can to shock the audience. It was all about shock value. It was all about drawing that rating and keeping viewers watching Nitro or Thunder or whatever it was. So they kept showing that over and over again, say, listen, this guy is really messed up. But I do agree with you. It was in poor taste. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue on, and we're going to bring in another co-host, and, let's see what kind of music I should play for John tonight. I got a whole array of music. Let's try this one. I don't even know what this song is. I don't even know what this is. Somebody uploaded this little sound bite into the corny-ass Blog Talk Radio audio clip bin, so let's check it out. This is for JCD, John DiBiselli. Speaking of Buff Bagwell, John, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, buddy?
Good. Just, hanging out.
What's new, brother? You haven't been on the show in a couple weeks, I feel like, man. What's going on? What's new?
No, I'm just taking care of the little guy, new job, so, you know, just been transitioning a few things.
Everything good, though, bro? Everything good, brother?
Yeah, good. Yeah.
I got to say, man, you wrote an article that you can go see over at ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. Check it out, ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com. You wrote an article on Adam Cole and his Ring of Honor World Championship win. And another guy, Ford Fisher, who writes for the site, he hasn't wrote an article in probably 6 months. I said it was an article battle, you versus him, one-on-one. The loser would get shit talked on them tonight on the show, and he never wrote his article. So, John, you are the winner of that article battle, and Ford Fisher sucks. He hasn't wrote an article in months.
Woohoo!
So congratulations, John.
Thank you.
Tonight, John, we're going to have Jorge Santi from FWE on the line with us at around 10 o'clock to talk to us about his big match with Rhett Titus, Addicted to Love Rhett Titus, who is a fill-in for, I believe it's Mike Bennett, if I'm not mistaken. He's filling in for Mike Bennett because Ring of Honor pulled Mike Bennett off the show for whatever reason. So it'll be Jorge Santi versus Rhett Titus. I can't fucking talk about
that. Well, they pulled Bennett and Lethal, and now they're pulling a thing where their talent, their contracted talents, can't appear on another company's iPay-per-view.
That's just bullshit. Ring of Honor, you know, I was listening to Greg DeMarco, who is another host here on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio Network. I was listening to Greg the other night. I wasn't listening live. I listened to the podcast over the past couple of days. And he had Joe Koff, who's the CEO of Ring of Honor, live on the show. And Joe Koff, you know, I've met him before. He seems like a nice guy, down to earth. You know, claims he knows a lot about the wrestling business, but he's obviously got it in good hands with Hunter Johnson, a.k.a. Delirious. Delirious is running the show. But he outright said that he thinks Ring of Honor is bigger than TNA Wrestling. I can't really agree with him there at all, but, you know, you got to understand something. Friday night is the night they crowned Adam Cole, the Ring of Honor champion. Ring of Honor was running in their old hometown of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which you can't really call their home anymore because they drew 300 people in the building, whereas at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, there was about 600 people there. 600 people at Pro Wrestling Syndicate in Rahway compared to 300 at what Joe Koff thinks is the number two promotion in the country, Ring of Honor. I'm not trying to be an ROH hater, but come on now. 300 people in Philly? You got to be fucking kidding me. What do you think about that, Toph?
I don't really watch Ring of Honor. This isn't a jab against them. It doesn't come on in my area. I'm signed to Xfinity. I have over 500 channels, and whatever Ring of Honor comes on is not one of them. It's very interesting. About 2 years ago, I was kind of going through a burnout with the wrestling product in general, and I was looking for something new to watch. And there was a friend of mine that recommended I try Ring of Honor, and I was like, well, how do I watch it? And he couldn't give me a straight answer because this is how complicated Ring of Honor is. And I asked him, well, how do you watch it? And he's like, well, there's a certain site he goes to, but he told me that it uploads episodes, like, on certain days, and you have to watch it, like, at a certain time before it gets taken off. And I'm like, is there an easy way to watch it? And he's like, well, some areas show on certain networks. And I told him, well, which areas show Ring of Honor? And he couldn't give me an answer because it was like no one knew. And so this curiosity just led to me just asking around different people. And it was like every single person that asked about Ring of Honor just gave me a different answer. It just seems to be one of those promotions that's just like if you know what's going on and you know where to find it, good for you. But like if you're like an outsider looking in, it's just overwhelming. I just went through so much stuff. And then when I finally found an episode to watch, like the in-ring work was good. But what kind of killed me about Ring of Honor, and, you know, this is going to sound kind of crazy because I'm not exactly the biggest WWE fan, but one thing I will give WWE and to a lesser extent TNA is that all the wrestlers have personality. They have characters. You know, there's some form of entertainment, whereas the Ring of Honor, it's like pretty much 90% of the roster, they're just like, yeah, we're wrestlers. It's like, okay, I get it, you're wrestlers, but, like, what can you do outside of the ring to keep me from tuning out? And it's like, everybody was just so serious. The vibe of the show was, like, for example, watching Raw, you see Triple H, that's serious. You see Santino, that's funny. You see The Shield, that's serious. You see Zack Ryder, that's funny. There's a balance, you know, even TNA with Eric Young, whereas Ring of Honor is just, like, 100% serious the entire time. And the wrestling was great, but they just kept kicking out of everything. It's like WrestleMania with The Undertaker, how Taker just kicks out of everything. It was like that for every match, just – I just could not get into it. But, hey, you know, apples and oranges, you know, I'm well aware of guys like Punk and Brian and Styles and Joe. They all came from there. So, you know, I respect Ring of Honor, but I've tried to get into it before. It's just way too complicated. So, I mean, you know, I'm not going to say I hate Ring of Honor because I don't, but it's definitely not my cup of tea.
Yeah, you know what? I used to love Ring of Honor, and you brought up a great point with the characters, the comedy relief value and stuff like that. back in the day, when I was just a huge diehard Ring of Honor fan, they had all that. They had characters on the show. You know, when whenever Colt Cabana was on the show, you knew you were going to get some kind of comedy. His matches were always had that little comedy twist to them. But there were times where he got extremely serious, say he was wrestling for the world title or in a blood feud with Homicide or something along those lines. They always used to have that balance. They kind of lost that over the past few years. Even Rhett, even my buddy Rhett Titus, he was always a little bit of comic relief when he would come out and say, oh, yeah, addicted to love, my thighs, petrified, you know, whatever the fuck. He would say, like, I got shoulders like boulders, baby. And the crowd would chant virgin at him because it was fucking hilarious. It was just good stuff. But, yeah, they haven't intrigued me in a really long time. I mean, Adam Cole is a good choice for champion. That guy can work. And he's very, very, very what's the word I'm looking for? He's got a lot of personality as a heel, doesn't have much as a babyface. And he's a guy that is very, very good in the ring and can get himself over as world champion. So it's a good choice as world champion, but I don't think they're in the stratosphere of TNA at this moment. John, what do you think, man?
I'm actually torn on this because I tried to watch the pay-per-view Friday night, and of course the key word I say is tried because of all the issues they had with it. TNA is on such a, and I don't want to come off TNA bashing, but TNA is on such a down slope right now that they could be right for the picking. The problem is, how do you have, I mean, New York City is probably Ring of Honor's second biggest market. I'll still give it Philly despite the crap crowd that it drew Friday and Saturday. How do you not have your show on in New York City? You know, that's your second biggest market. You know, Buffalo's nice, Syracuse is nice because you're still able to label it as New York, the state. But, you know, and just like what Tove said, the fact that, you know, you basically need the moon and the stars and the sun to align to catch an episode of it is, you know, is what hurts it. But if they could ever get that strained out, then there's your chance right there to maybe make that claim legit. And as far as like what Tove said about, you know, no characters, no personality, that's kind of what made them the alternative to everything else. That's kind of what made them, when they started in like in 02, that kind of made them like the alternative to, you know, even, you know, the tail end of the Attitude Era and some of the ridiculousness that TNA was doing back in the Asylum days. So the pure in-ring wrestling was what made it, but they got to get TV cleared up, and they got to get, you know, this pay-per-view situation on the control. And if they could ever do that, roster to roster, I think that ROH roster is better than TNA.
I think, you know, that's a good point. I agree with you there. The biggest issue, and you put the nail on the head, man, is that TV distribution. You know, I'm in Jersey. You're in New York. New Jersey was also a hotbed for ROH. They ran Edison, New Jersey, for years. So many big moments in Ring of Honor history happened in Edison. And I don't get the show here either. I know you can watch it on ROHWrestling.com and what have you, but I don't get the damn show. I'd love to watch the show on my 55-inch LED TV, but I can't. I got to watch it on my little laptop, or I got to do some kind of BS and hook up my laptop to the TV. And it just, to me, it's too much work to watch a wrestling show. It just doesn't mean enough to me. I look at Ring of Honor right now as the king of the indies because of their roster, because of the amount of people that watched it on iPay-Per-View. Joe Koff was throwing around like thousands, numbers in the thousands, the other night on Greg DeMarco's show. And, yeah, they're king of the indies. They're still indie. There's no way, even though they're owned by a corporation, there's no way that they're bigger than TNA Wrestling, even though TNA Wrestling, as we talked about, does have their issues. But
I think it was a year ago or 2 years ago. I'm not sure. It was whenever Kevin Steen, you guys know who that is, right? Kevin Steen?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it was when Kevin Steen won the world.
Kevin Steen kicked me in my face one time at a Ring of Honor show. I got to work security. I've told the story before. And he asked me, you know, I was backstage, and he said there was an angle where he was supposed to, like, invade Ring of Honor because he was off the show. And, of course, he's backstage, and he says some shit to me, like, points right at me. And I'm an extra. Points right at me, and he says, are you trained? And I said, nope. And he goes, can you take a fake punch? And I said, hell yeah, absolutely. So he goes, all right, you're going to take a fake punch. So what happened was I was supposed to, after I got fucking dove on, a whole crowd of people got dove on by El Generico. I got smacked right in the head with the, right in top of my head with his boot. I dive into the ring, Toph. I dive in. I kind of get caught up on the bottom rope, and I got video of this. This shit was live on iPay-Per-View in the Hammerstein Ballroom. It was the biggest markout moment of my entire life. I get fucking hung up on the bottom rope because I've never slid under a rope before, and instead of taking a fake punch, I took a fucking brutal boot to the fucking face, man. Kevin Steen drilled me in the face with his boot. It hurt like a motherfucker, and then...
Wait, are you talking about, like, a Joe running boot or, like, the test stiff boot?
No, I'm talking about I didn't even stand up. I was fucking... I went under the rope. My ass got caught up on the rope, and I was trying to stand up, and as I was getting, like, off my knees, he came at me and fucking booted me right in the face. Like, just a kick. Boom. Fucking nailed me, bro. It was awesome. It was an amazing experience. I did have a boot mark on my forehead for about 3 days from it, but I've never had more adrenaline in my life. So, anyway, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor thing. One of the very first wrestling, I don't even think it's a podcast now. I think it's evolved into a show. One of the first wrestling shows I listened to was, it's called The Law Live Audio Wrestling. I don't listen to it as much anymore, but it's a Canadian-based promotion or radio promotion. And it was the show where Kevin Steen won the title, the Ring of Honor title. I don't know what show that was because I don't follow Ring of Honor like that. But
Border Wars.
Yeah. They, you know, the Law, they do their show on Sundays, and basically, to make a long story short, you know, they typically do a post show after a pay-per-view. And one of the last episodes of the Law that I listened to was many fans were calling in, and they were irate because apparently the show where, like, Kevin Steen won the title, the pay-per-view was, like, down for about 70% of the show. So there were people that paid their money, but they couldn't watch it because the stream just kept freezing or something. I believe Ring of Honor did some kind of discount later on, and I don't really follow Ring of Honor that much, but I know I've heard many, many fans complain about their iPay-Per-View issues. I know John mentioned it earlier as well. Has that gotten any better, or has it gotten any worse?
Nope.
No, it hasn't gotten better.
Friday night was a disaster.
Wow. Well, until they get that fixed, I'm sorry. You know, I mean, I want them to succeed, but that's a huge problem right there. You can't have your pay-per-views, particularly when you've paid money for it. That's a big no-no.
Hold on, real quick.
This is what Joe Koff talked about on Greg DeMarco. Joe Koff, who's the CEO of ROH, said something along the lines of they Go Fight Live, which was the company that was providing their iPay-Per-View, was doing it for years. They kept screwing up, kept having issues. Ring of Honor started doing it in-house, doing it themselves. Guess what? Kept screwing up, kept having issues. So from what I understand, they stopped doing it for a little while. But at the other night, Go Fight Live said, hey, let's do this again. Let's give it another shot. And ROH didn't pay him shit. ROH said, okay, well, come on in and do it. And Go Fight Live gave it their best shot, and it just didn't really work. So that's what happened there. But, John, you tried to watch it. What kind of issues were you having?
The same usual stuff. Freezing up. You know, reloading, freezing, all that stuff. It was a disaster. It was a disaster. And, you know, what I was going to say was what's scary for Ring of Honor is you get some of these smaller promotions like PWS or FWE, and I'm sure there's a million others across the country, you know, that do it, that don't have half the budget that Ring of Honor has. And they can get the iPay-Per-View, you know, done right. You know, that's what's concerning. And a big company with, you know, like Ring of Honor with St. Clair, you know, backing them up, that's concerning.
Yeah,
that is a problem. I've actually seen an FWE iPay-Per-View before. And I ordered it last year just to try something different. I was surprised at the quality. It was very clear. It was very, you know, no lag or anything. It was almost as if I was watching. You know how sometimes you might go on a website to download something? It was as if I was watching that. So, you know, that's a big problem, the iPay-Per-View. Hopefully they fix it soon or find some solution or alternative.
No question about it. I'm going to bring TLD in right now.
It's TLD.
Yeah.
Four-time tag team champion. I'm curvy. I'm cute. I'm a champion.
Yo, what's up, Will? What's going on, man?
Oh, man, I just got done playing some volleyball, and it's volleyball season again, so but I'm, like, freaking tired as hell, though. I haven't played volleyball in a while, so I'm a little beat up.
Well, you know what? That's great, though, because you're going to get back in shape, and you'll be back in the ring in no time. But, Will, we're talking about iPay-Per-View. You're my video guy. Maybe you know a little bit more about this. Why is Ring of Honor always having these issues with iPay-Per-View?
You know, I think it has a lot to do with just the type of system that you use. Even, you know, it really is tough with Internet pay-per-view. I think it's everywhere that everyone's showing pay-per-views. It's very tough. A lot of the times, it has to do with the building you're in. I mean, a lot of times these buildings just don't have the capability or they're blocking. A lot of things just get in the way and block out that signal from going through. It really has a lot to do with that, but mostly it's just you don't have a strong connection. You need a big satellite, you know, type of, you know, way to get the signal out, but they just have, they go the cheap route. That's just the bottom line. You know, High Spots, Go Fight Live, they all do iPay-Per-View, and fans just, you know, just are not getting the quality that they're paying for. And a lot of times, it ends up becoming free. I know the show we went to this weekend with PWS is going to be free because of the quality and what was going on with their signals. It's just that it has a lot to do with that. You know, iPay-Per-View is just too tough right now. I don't think there's a company out there that can successfully do it. They need to get some kind of other backer, or someone's got to create a really strong way of outputting it for everyone to see. And I just don't think iPay-Per-View, however they're doing it, it's just a good way of doing it.
I would say it might almost be more cost efficient. Now, I know it's expensive to have live TV as it is, you know, that's a really big cost. That's why TNA is backing off whatever they're doing. But it might almost be more cost efficient. Instead of losing all this money in refunds and iPay-Per-View, why not just bite the bullet? Sinclair Broadcasting, fund some, just flow some money, throw some money into this, and put Ring of Honor on regular pay-per-view. Do it a couple times a year. Maybe do it two or three times a year in some really big shows where you want something huge to happen, and let those apparent thousands of viewers that you think, or you're telling us, actually view Ring of Honor and iPay-Per-View, let them buy it on their cable box or on their satellite dish or whatever the hell, and do it that way. Go through the real route. I think that might be a lot more cost efficient in the long run.
Or just don't do it.
Yeah, or just say fuck it. You know, that's always another option. Guys, if you want to get in on the show, if you're listening right now, we do appreciate it. Please give us a call, 760-888-5749. Head on over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Pro Wrestling Powerhouse. And, you know, do what you got to do to support the show. Head on over to wherever, iTunes, download it there. Go to our Amazon store, buy something awesome. Follow me on Twitter, @PW Powerhouse. Follow Will @TLDWrestling. Follow John @JCD1219NY. And you can always friend Toph on Facebook, man. He'll talk to you about wrestling all day on Facebook because that's what he does. That's what he likes to do. Also, we are still taking applications for our big contest with the Hart Brothers University. I don't know if you guys listened, but last week we had Bruce Hart on the show for a very good interview. Very insightful. Flowed really well. A lot of great points made by the legendary Hart family member, and we're still taking applications. We've got a bunch. We've got some really good candidates. So if you're listening tonight out there, candidates, you have a shot. I've gotten them all, and you definitely have a shot. You're in the running for these scholarships. We're looking for males. We're looking for females. Send your emails to webmaster@prowrestlingpowerhouse.com. Please include all the pertinent information, including, you know, a resume, your age. We need to know how old you are. We need to know everything about you as far as your athletic history is concerned. We want to know why we should choose you for this scholarship. It's a free ride to Hart Brothers University in Calgary. 3 months of some of the best wrestling training money can buy. So if you want any more information on that, if I'm not clear enough, please send me an email, webmaster@prowrestlingpowerhouse.com, or hit me up on Twitter @PWPowerhouse. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to the lines. We're looking at the 516 area code, 516. You're on the line with Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Yeah, it's great to be on. Just had a little tiresome afternoon.
What's going on? Is this who am I talking to right now?
Matthew from Westbury.
Oh, you're the man. What's up, Matthew Holly? Right, what's going on, brother?
I'm doing all right. When I heard of that little call, I'm like, wow, TNA right now. When it comes to not financially, it's shambles right now. And that's right now. They're like, just as I say, there's like 200 people going to their shows, and when it stops doing shows on the road next year, to save some money. That's fine, but when it comes right down to it, I don't see TNA being around for much longer. I mean, with such a financial situation and a lot of people leaving. I mean, I don't blame the performers. I personally blame management for some occasions. You agree? Don't you agree?
Yo, I gotta agree with you there, man. The performers in TNA, the wrestlers are all good, and I'm sure everybody will agree with me there. The wrestling is fine. It's not a wrestling problem. As I've stated week after week, it's the management. It's the advertising. It's the fact that people don't know. The average wrestling fan probably isn't aware of the fact that guys like Kurt Angle, not currently on the show, but guys like Kurt Angle are even over there wrestling. And Kurt Angle was a guy that drew tons of money for TNA. For WWE in the past. So, there's probably a lot of fans out there that are just oblivious to the fact that TNA even exists.
Hey, thanks for taking the time, man. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Thanks, Matthew. Appreciate it, brother. We're going to continue on with the show, and I don't know. Let's just talk about – here, this is what we'll do. We're talking about independent wrestling. Will and I were at Pro Wrestling Syndicate. Great show. And I just want to throw out, and Will, you can be with me here. There was a bad injury that night to a good friend of ours here on the show, Starman, who has been on the show before. About a year ago, he was on the Oh You Didn't Know show. And this kid, he's a good wrestler, man. He got a running start from the top of their brand new stage and basically ran with a full head of steam to the ring where his opponent was leaning up against the apron. And he hit the kid with a drop kick, but then he fell directly on his head, started going into some kind of seizure or convulsion or whatever the hell was happening. They stopped the show for about a good half hour, maybe 45 minutes. And it turns out he suffered a pretty bad concussion, but he will be back in action in a few weeks. Starman's okay. That was a pretty horrific injury, though, Will, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty scary. It wasn't just that he was knocked out, but when he was seizuring, that was the one that I kind of freaked out on that one a little bit. I was kind of pretty taken back from it, and I was wondering I was asking some of the wrestlers, like, does he have any kind of conditions that would cause him to do that? And none of them knew about that. It was pretty serious. But what I thought that came out of that was that locker room was out there watching, you know, uniting, making sure he was okay, and that just shows you what kind of locker room is out there with those guys. It was great at least to see that. Kevin Matthews, you know, Eric and Pat Buck were all out there making sure that, you know, one of their big talents was out there making sure he was okay. And, you know, one thing about professional wrestling is that even though you're injured, you know, you always want to go out, you always try to go out, you know, making sure the fans are okay. And he even was putting his fingers in the air, chanting yes, showing the fans that he was okay, you know, and I'm surprised that he's going to be back in action 2 weeks. I really am. That just shows you the heart of a wrestler right there. When, you know, you get a pretty serious injury like that and, you know, you want to go back in the ring and just want to fight, you know, and hopefully he's medically clear to fight, which is more important, which looks like he's all right, you know. It's just hopefully that it takes it easy. But what I think it takes away from this is that we got, you know, they stop these chair shots and they stop these things, but one thing that a lot of these independent shows don't have, and that's mats on the bottom of their ring. And I refuse, even as a wrestler, to take a bump on those hard mats. It's just not necessary. It actually goes against what WWE's trying to do with the safe injuries. You need mats on the bottom of those, you know. It's just for your safety. They're not there to be like, you know, climactic about hitting with taking a bump on the floor. They're there for your safety, and that to me was like a big thing where maybe they should just put some mats on the bottom there. That would have saved them.
It would have. It would have saved him for sure. And there have been a lot of promotions in the past that have not used masks. ECW didn't use them. Unless they were mandated by the athletic commission of wherever state they were in to use masks, ECW would not use them. WCW for a while, when it was under the reign of, I believe it was John, when WCW stopped using the masks, who was the booker?
Bill Watts.
Bill Watts, man, yeah. Bill Watts, under the reign of Bill Watts, they stopped using masks. They tried to make things a little more hardcore, I guess, in their own sense of the word. But I don't think it's very smart at all. So, you know, get well soon, Starman. You're a good wrestler, and, you know, the sky's the limit for you. And if you guys are asking or wondering, I should say, Starman, yes, it is that Starman from the old Nintendo video game called Pro Wrestling from about 1986, the same exact effing Starman. That's who it is. So it's pretty cool to see him in action. But, yeah, independent professional wrestling, it's a tricky business. There aren't a lot of promotions out there that actually do it the right way. But, Toph, how many independent professional wrestling events have you been to? And tell us about some of your favorite experiences at independent professional wrestling events.
Now since WCW died, none.
Nope.
Nothing really comes to my area anymore. So
any,
the closest thing
like
I can say is in 2010, I used to watch Lucha Libre USA. Does that count?
I mean, yeah, I guess that could be an indie show, but you don't go to any shows in, like, high school gyms or like, little tiny independent wrestling federations? There's none around your area?
Ever since WCW died, they all pretty much left. There's nothing here.
To me, that's pretty shocking, because up here in the Northeast, it's a hotbed. I know out in the West Coast, there are a lot of independent wrestling organizations, so it's pretty shocking. Maybe you should get into the promoting business. Maybe bring some, because there's got to be wrestling fans down there, no question about it. So maybe, you know, save up some money.
They're here. It's just most of them have like, I'll tell you, man. Like, I don't like to talk about stuff like this because it's really annoying. But a lot of times, like when I go to a bar or when I'm out, you know how it is. You'll be out, like, say 4th of July or Thanksgiving, you know, you'll see a dude wearing, like, an NFL jersey or, you know, some type of UFC gear. A lot of the wrestling fans down here, what happened basically was when WCW folded, they either stopped watching wrestling or they just migrated to UFC or NFL or NBC or not NBC, NBA, or, you know, they migrated to sports or UFC, and a select few continued to watch WWE. When I was in high school and my early years of college, I was in Florida for a cup of tea. I checked out some of FCW for a bit. I was at a few FCW shows. I was at a few Impact shows in the Impact Zone. I went to one Lucha Libre show, but, like, as far as, like, independent promotions that travel, and there's nothing down here. But that sounds like a good idea. I would love to start my own.
Yeah, man, you know, you're college educated. Get that bankroll pretty high, man, and start your own promotion. Bring in some old WCW guys. I know, like, Disco Inferno, Buff Bagwell, he's taking bookings. I think he's from Georgia. Buff Bagwell lives down there. You know, so he's around your area as well. John, man, I know you've been to a lot of independent wrestling shows over the years. You're the elder statesman here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Is that what we're calling it?
What are some of your favorite, and especially, you know, ECW counts. I know you went to a lot of the original ECW shows.
That's actually where I was
going to
go.
Yeah, favorite memories and moments, man. Let's hear them.
All right. I'll give you a couple of ECW ones. My first ECW show on Queens Boulevard in December of 95. Don't ask me. I still can't tell you how it happened, but I ended up selling T-shirts for Sandman. And I got a free one from him for it. You know, that, and then, yeah.
You still have that T-shirt?
No.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no. And then, you know, I mean, a lot of those ECW shows, before they kind of became the third big promotion, were just, you know, classic, you know. I remember sitting at the Elks Lodge on the stage, which would be the equivalent probably of, like, the second tier of seating, even though you were on an auditorium stage. And I literally, this is how fast it happened. It was me, my friend, and his girlfriend at the time. And I turned to say something to her and him, and then I turned around, and next thing I know, Bully Ray and New Jack are literally basically, like, in our laps. And, you know, I think New Jack had a staple gun in his hand, which is always an adventure. You know, those were some really, you know, some really fun shows, 95, 96, 97. And, you know, then, you know, I can't lie, the last two FWE shows, you know, have been really fun to enjoy. You know, we're all going on the 12th, you know, so, yeah, it'd be fun.
Yeah, man, and Will and I are driving up. We're actually taking Rhett with us. Rhett's going to be driving up with us most likely. Rhett Titus is going to be driving up with us most likely to the building. So it should be cool.
You guys
are going to
be
fun.
Okay, yeah, because I live like 5 minutes from there. So, you know, it's not, you know, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to bring our camera. We're going to do some interviews. I know we met up with Seth over at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, and we let him do a couple interviews. We actually did a little corny bit with Seth. It was kind of funny. and we'll get you on too, John. You can get that microphone in your hand with the ProWrestlingPowerhouse.com logo, and you can interview people. And the thing about me is, and I'm going to talk about myself for a minute before I go to Will and ask him about his favorite independent wrestling memories and moments and shit. I'm not about getting myself over. You know, no offense to guys like Greg DeMarco and other podcasters and radio show hosts I know, but I didn't name this the Jay Leto Show for a reason, because it's not about me. It's about all of us. It's about a community. It's about a group. It's about getting together and enjoying professional wrestling and having a good time talking about it. Although I am the host, I am the owner. That's all good and well, whatever the fuck. But it's not about getting me over. I'm not trying to get over on anybody. So if it comes down to it, if you really want to interview, you know, whoever it is, say who the fuck is going to be. If you really want, if we can get Ted DiBiase, and you're the guy that wants to interview Ted DiBiase, you're interviewing Ted DiBiase. That's the bottom line there. Because Ted DiBiase will be wrestling Colt Cabana, which should be really fucking cool. Because we haven't seen, you know, Ted Jr. in a long time, and he just left WWE. So that should be awesome. That's how it's going to be, John. We'll do our thing.
Yeah, all I do is just get Gianluca over. I don't even bother with myself. I just put my son over.
Are you bringing him to the show?
No.
Okay. Good. I was just making sure, man.
No. But I'll tell you, he was over with RVD at the last one, and he was actually over with Bruno at the San Gennaro Feast.
That's awesome. That's so cool. That's awesome. That's badass. Yeah, you sent me the picture. That's really cool. Let me bring back TLT here. He's coming back from volleyball, so his service is a little shitty. But TLD, man, I know you're a pro wrestling. I'm sorry. I know you're a pro wrestler, and you've done wrestling for a few years and whatnot, yada, yada, yada. But you got to have some favorite memories and moments from independent wrestling throughout the years. Let's hear some.
Well, one of the ones I remember was, if you remember back in the day when, you know, WWE talent used to get to go to these independent shows, and that was when you would have, like, the Gilbergs, and you would have Bam Bam Bigelow, and if you remember those days, Jane, you know, because you remember this area was filled with those. WWE talent used to get to go to all these events, and you get to meet all these people. One of my favorite ones that I'll always remember was the one where Bam Bam Bigelow showed up. He did, like, a hardcore match, and that was when the convention center was still open before it closed. And, of course, it reopened again. But, yeah, the old convention center, that one I remember, because it was supposed to be family-friendly, and it was completely the opposite, and my dad was so pissed because they were cursing, and they were bleeding, and they had blood everywhere. It was just, some crazy stuff. So that one, I remember that one just for that reason. I went to one where I saw Mr. Kennedy, you know, when he was just signing with TNA, and that one, even though the rest of the show was pretty bad and I knew a friend in the show that was going to be in it, it was cool just to see him. It was just my favorite part of that is when it was a short ceiling and they had the microphone kind of cranked up, and when he was reaching up for that microphone, it was just right there, but he wanted it lowered anyway, and it was like 1 foot lower. It was hilarious. That was fun. So that was one of my favorite independent shows. But I would say that the show that we went to with PWS, that one show, the show that we did, was pretty memorable. I thought that was a really fun show to do. Just the idea of interviewing people and getting to do that was just fun. The first PWS show I ever went to, the entire entranceway collapsed when Coco Beware and like his team came out. The entire entranceway collapsed, and it was pretty funny to watch. I'm sure Eric will remember that one, but As far as me wrestling in them, the one I remember the most was when I turned heel on the show. And the funny part about it was a kid bought my autograph. I was a face, and then I won the tag belts. But then I turned on my tag partner the same night, joined up with my old tag partner, and the kid was so angry that I turned. He wanted to return that autograph back, and we refused to give back the autograph. So he was stuck with an autograph. And so that was, to me, when I found out that kid did that, that was just hilarious. I was like, that is when you know when people are reacting to what you do. And that was just one of my favorite times when I turned heel again and, you know, betrayed the fans. And that was hilarious. It was great. And the kid wanted my autograph, and then I told him I'd do it later. And, of course, I turned heel.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Good time.
Yeah. You brought up all those shows around our area from back in, like, the late 90s and early 2000s and stuff. I went to a ton of those, man. I saw guys like Gilbert, the Mean Street Posse, all the time. Those guys were here all the time. But one that really sticks out in my mind was in my high school, in Toms River South High School, there was a show that Sabu was booked on. And Sabu was wrestling, God, if I can't remember who the hell it was. It was either Big Dick Dudley or 911. Can't remember who it was. But Sabu, I'm watching this guy sprint up and down the hallway in my high school, and I'm right there. I'm standing in the doorway watching him sprint and warm up for his match. So that was really cool because I was such a Sabu mark when I was like 14 years old. So that was a pretty awesome experience. Also on that same show, Chris Candido. No, that's who he wrestled. Chris Candido, yeah. He wrestled Chris Candido, and Tammy Sitch was there as well. Wait, fuck. I'm getting this wrong. Chris Candido wasn't there. Tammy Sitch was there. Sonny was there, and I remember asking her. I was like, Sonny, what's this rumor that you're going to be going to WCW? And she says, oh, yeah, I'll be in Colorado for Nitro or Thunder or whatever tomorrow or this weekend or something. So that was pretty damn cool. But out of all the moments and memories, man, I got to say my absolute favorite one out of all of them was in 2002, right before Eddie Guerrero was ready to return to WWE. He was doing this little independent tour around the different states and whatnot. My buddy called me up, who I was acquaintances with at the time. He's a fellow wrestling fan. He calls me up and says, let's go over to the Shore Sports Arena and check out a company that was called Phoenix Championship Wrestling. It was run by a guy named Big 80s Donnie B, who is the brother of Mike Bucci, who you guys know is Nova, Simon Deem, et cetera. He was on the show sometime earlier this year, and we actually talked about this very match. And Eddie Guerrero fought Nova on that card. And it was just so cool seeing Eddie Guerrero up close and personal and getting his autograph and shaking his hand before the show, because I was always a great fan of Eddie Guerrero. It was fantastic seeing him. It was just amazing. And he put on a great match with Nova. And the kicker is, and Nova told us a story. You can go back and listen. It's on the archives here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Nova told us that Eddie Guerrero refused to win the match. He wanted to put Nova over no matter what. So it was really cool seeing Eddie Guerrero. And, it was a badass moment. So that was my favorite moment. But right now we're going to take a short little break here on Pros and Powerhouse Radio. I need to get a breather. I'm freaking tripping over my speech all night tonight. But that happens to the best of us. I'm just really amped up. I'm ready. Because in the second half of the show, at about 10 o'clock, in about 10 minutes, we're going to have Jorge Santi from FWE. We will be there in the house talking to Jorge Santi and the rest of the roster. He'll be taking on Rhett Titus. We'll talk to him about that. We'll try to get him to spit some fire at Rhett, because I know Rhett's geared up to make his debut in FWE. But we're just going to take a short commercial break for a couple minutes, and we'll return right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
So did you go to any house shows at the Garden at all?
They're called live events, Rob.
Oh, sorry about that.
Please make sure.
I walked into the Matt Stryker shoot interview to get the car keys because we drove together.
Oh. And to sell.
I was a member of Johnny Rods' wrestling academy as well, and I sold him on the idea because he saw me, my picture hang up on Johnny Rods' thing, said, I'm going to be a huge star like that crazy Equidub wrestler Tommy Dreamer. Do you want food?
In WWE, a lot of guys, after your match, you'll walk through the curtain, and there's this whole intricate set of monitors and tables and stuff, and Vince McMahon is sitting kind of off to the side with the headsets on, watching everything. And a lot of guys will walk through the curtain and kind of try to get, you know, was that good,
right,
Vince? Was that good, Vince? And honestly, your best bet is to walk through the curtain and walk right out downstairs, because you know if it was good or it wasn't. And if you're going to wait from the pat on the back from the Pope, you'd be waiting there a long time because he has much bigger fish to fry than to pat you on the back and say, hey, good match. If it was bad, someone's going to come and get you and tell you it was bad. Then there was Simon Diamond, and then there was Candido and Bigelow, and on it went. And I also got to work on shows with Eddie Guerrero, rest his soul, and Tajiri. And if those guys are out there doing their craft and you're not watching, you're an idiot. That's where I'm going to learn what a good guy does, what a bad guy does, what moves to do, what moves not to do. This is where I'm going to learn psychology. This is where I'm going to learn timing. And all of that came from Jim Kettner's ECWA. Key was always very withdrawn into himself and always very protective of his personality and protective of the business. So immediately there was respect there. But I remember the first time I made him crack a smile. I said some kind of joke. And right there, I think that Loki and Brandon, which is his real name, went like that. And I became friendlier or more friendly, said the former teacher, with Brandon than with Loki. I did an Ultimate Warrior thing where you play his music, and I ran around the ECW arena for a good 2.5 minutes. I got to the top of the step, and I was shooting out of breath, and I looked around, and everyone was laughing. And going back to what I learned from the veterans, we got Punk was always Punk. He always did things his way, and he always had a lot of confidence. We have a very similar personality, Punk and I, now that I've gotten to know him. Arn Anderson, who, oh God, I wish I got a chance to say goodbye to Arn. I feel like I let him down so much. That guy taught me so much, and there's a lot of things that, if you are an extra talent at WWE, again, it may never happen ever again. It's my one chance. So what the hell are you doing hanging out in catering or trying to buddy up to someone in the locker room when what you need to know is out at that ring? I got there, I stayed in my nice clothes, I let people see me a little bit, I put on my workout gear, I went, stood out by the ring. Two eyes, two ears, one mouth. Shut your mouth, watch, and listen. And that's what I did. I just walked away and a hand grabbed me. Said, Vince wants to see you. Fuck. Stands up. Pretty big dude, 6'2", 6'3". You got a lot of poise on the microphone. Really good stuff. MLW was one of the first places I got to meet Terry Funk. Another person that you kind of just sit over there and hope that he speaks loud enough for you to hear. And MLW was, you know, for me, everyone was trying to replace ECW. Everyone was going to be the next ECW. Witch hunt against me. They forced me to resign in April. But didn't break the story until June. It was a slow week. It was on the cover of every newspaper. CNN, I mean, fuck, it was everywhere. And that's how WWE, Tommy Dreamer, and Court Bauer said, hey, wait, we know this guy. Let's give him a call and let Kurt Angle kick him in the face. Just want you to know, if you don't do business out there, I'm going to break your fucking ankles. See you out there, man. Pee, you know, down your leg. And I think there was
a ribbon yet?
I don't know, because I think there was a thought.
How old are you? You married? You rent? What's your deal? You live with your parents? What's it?
Before I can say,
here's the deal. I'm going to sign you. And I'm going to start paying you right now. I think it's great what happened with the teacher thing. I think it's awesome that you have a passion for this business. I'm going to give you a contract. Leave me your address. Carano has your information. Congratulations, kid. Good job. And again, I think this is a theme. The handshake happens, and then I go to break it, and they hold on to it. Just want you to know, it's up to you to keep your job.
Okay. I went in the back and I called my father. I said, Dad, they signed me. And my father's first question, how much they paying you, Butch? Chris Benoit in Reno, Nevada. Everyone was down at the bar and he was this close to me, reading me the riot act in front of everyone. I mean, fucking screaming at me. And I'm just standing there going, like, holy shit. All of a sudden, he closed the door and he said, listen, I've got to make an example out of you. I think it's great that you left teaching to come here. It shows passion for this business. But I need to make an example out of you for all of them. So when we're in front of everybody, I would find janitor's closets. I would find...
That's a preview of Matt Stryker's shoot interview on rfvideo.com. Head over to rfvideo.com and purchase the Matt Stryker shoot interview from our buddy, former guest on the show and friend of the show, Rob Feinstein, over at rfvideo.com. That's a great shoe interview. Please go and check it out. And you want to talk about supporting independent wrestling, support your companies that provide you with all this content for independent wrestling, from independent wrestling, the people who are involved in the business. I know, and pretty much all the shows I go to, man, I'll go to Pro Wrestling Syndicate all the time. Every single time Rob Feinstein is there with the RF video table with tons of DVDs, and you got to support those guys as well. It's the best way to really show that you're about independent professional wrestling. So, yeah, we've had a pretty good conversation tonight. If you want to call in, please give a call, 760-888-5749. So, yeah, so that was Matt Stryker, a little bit of preview. Did you guys listen to that, John? Were you listening to that little preview
yeah.
shoot interview?
Yeah,
pretty
yeah.
Pretty interesting stuff. Have you seen it yet?
No, not yet. And Stryker's going to be at FWE on the 12th. And I know Seth got talking to him in June right after he got released. And he doesn't... Not in a bad way, but he just he doesn't sugarcoat anything. He's very honest. He's very open, and he just seems like a really cool dude, down to earth. So that might be one I check out.
Yeah, maybe we'll get him on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse TV on video October 12th when we're at FWE, and you can get all your information for Family Wrestling Entertainment at FWEWrestling.com, and you can also follow them on Twitter at FWE Wrestling. I'd like to thank AJ Penn for helping us out. We're going to have a couple interviews here and there throughout the next couple of weeks leading up to the show. We're going to have interviews right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. We're also going to continue our little working relationship, I guess you want to call it, with Pro Wrestling Syndicate. I really love that promotion. They do things the right way where, you know, they have entertainment and great wrestling on the same exact show. So we're going to continue that. We're going to support them through and through and hopefully go to more of their shows and film more and do some more things with them. I know there's a handful of people that are there, man. The Shining Wizard podcast, the freaking Marking Out podcast. And I'm just dropping names now. Wrestle Reaction, my buddies from Wrestle Reaction, they're actually really cool, unlike the other two that I mentioned. They're actually really, really cool guys. So they were there. And my buddy Frank Manzo actually picked up that Matt Stryker shoot interview. So I'm going to have to get the 411 on that from good old Frankie. And until then, I'm not going to buy it. But, we're doing our thing right here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. But speaking of FWE, we're going to bring in our special guest right here tonight on the show. He goes into battle, into war, on October 12th for FWE. His name is Jorge Santi, and he's wrestling Rhett Titus in his debut match. Jorge, what's going on, man? Welcome to Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Good, man. Everything's good. I'm excited about October 12th.
Absolutely, man. And you're going into battle with Rhett Titus, who's been a mainstay here in the East Coast independent wrestling scene and Ring of Honor and other places. What are your thoughts on Rhett and your upcoming match with Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus?
Yeah, that's right. Addicted to Love. I remember in 2007, I wrestled Rhett Titus for National Wrestling Superstars, and it was I believe it was his up and coming role as Addicted to Love, Rhett Titus. We took the ring apart. We wrestled, and it was a great match. It was something that I liked, and I wish I had the footage for. But now we're older and seasoned and wiser, and this match coming up is going to be something. It's going to be a first round knockout.
Yeah, I'm excited for it, man. I'm really pumped up. Rhett's a good friend of mine and a friend of the show as well. And we're actually driving up with Rhett. We're going to be in the house. We're going to be filming at FWE. I've been talking about it all night. We're doing a nice little video blog. Yeah, it's going to be fun. I'm sure we can hopefully get you on camera. Ask you a few questions on camera. Absolutely. But man, you're going into battle with Rhett, and you're kind of showing him some respect. I mean, what are you doing right now? Are you babyface or?
No, I come off very humble. I give everybody the benefit of the doubt when I wrestle. But that's what's different about FWE. You got your friends, you got your foes, then you got your jerks, and then your names. And I'm the type of guy that if I go out there and I wrestle a jerk, I'm gonna make sure that he looks stupid.
I love it. So you've been on you said 2007 before for NWS, which is national wrestling superstars here in the tri-state area, New Jersey mostly. But
yeah.
You've been on the scene for quite a while, man. Who trained you in this crazy world of professional wrestling?
I came from Unpredictable Johnny Rods back in 04. I was still in high school when I was training, and I just grew from there. I still with Johnny around like 9 years, and then I sprouted out to see what I could do, and you know, I've been doing stuff at Ring of Honor, been doing stuff at FWE, been going all over the East Coast, Boston, Connecticut, New Jersey, Florida, Texas, so Iowa. So that's just, you know, it just shows that, you know, at one point in my career, I was thinking, you know, like, damn, like, I hope I make it. You know, I just don't want to be no one-hit wonder where, you know, people are like, oh, you're good, and that's it. That's all you hear from me.
Right, but, hey, you've been on the scene for quite a while, and it takes a lot to have that kind of longevity in independent professional wrestling. We've been talking about indie wrestling the entire night tonight, and I'm looking here at a little bit of your match history in FWE, and it looks like you scored your first FWE victory against a guy named Ricky Reyes, who's a veteran on the indie scene. He actually did something with WWE earlier in the year or last year against Ryback, took like a nice beating from Ryback. But how was that experience, getting your first FWE victory over Ricky Reyes?
Ricky Reyes, he's a talented athlete. He can go. He can bring it out of you. You know, like, there's certain people out there that could bring it out of you, or there's certain people that you could bring out of them. And that's what Ricky was. Ricky is, actually, not was. Ricky Reyes is a phenomenal athlete. You know, he comes off as a jerk like everybody else. But in the end, I got the better of him. And in the end, my hand was raised, and I was proud of that. I was proud of that victory. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the footage I saw. And, you know, I'm happy that in FWE history, my hand was raised over Ricky Reyes.
Yeah, definitely a big win. Now, I was watching a couple of your promos. I kind of did a little bit of my homework before I did this interview. And yeah, no problem, man. I gotta say, man, your look, right? Your look kind of reminds me of the late great Eddie Guerrero a little bit. And ask, man, is he one of your influences in wrestling?
Here's a funny story. I would say last year, I finally got into Eddie Guerrero. And I remember, I was like, you look like him. Oh, you act like him. Quackenbush was like, you know, I guess a student asked him a question. He was like, ask Eddie. And pointed at me, I guess, you know, as a joke and stuff. I don't think he'll remember that, but it's a long time ago. But I found it, like, amazing. Like, how all these people, you know, telling me I remind them of Eddie Guerrero, and I resemble Eddie Guerrero. So I was like, I never really studied this guy. I thought he was a great wrestler, but I never really got into him. And then recently I read his book, his biography, and then his footage, and went to High Spots, ordered some DVDs to see what he's all about, and this guy's a great wrestler, and just freaking, he was gone before his time, and he's also, phenomenal, and I'm actually very honored to be resembled as Eddie Guerrero. At the same time, I like to be myself, but it's good to be, it's good to be remembered to somebody that made changes in pro wrestling.
Yeah, absolutely, man. That's the first thing that came to me. It's funny about that you had that little story, because when I looked at you and was watching your promo, I said, man, he's got Eddie Guerrero written all over him. And that's definitely a good thing. That's not a bad thing whatsoever. But you said you just got into Guerrero. Who are some of your major influences in becoming a professional wrestler? Like, who have you studied the most over the years?
Oh, over the years, let's see. When I first started, it was all about the Hardy Boys. I think everybody, the Hardy Boys were hot back then. I mean, just they showed the acrobatics in the ring, and then everybody wanted to be like them, just flip and wear their baggy pants and all that. But when I got into it, I was getting into, I was learning more of the art of professional wrestling through Steamboat, Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man. You know, that's just like, if I wanted to go back into the past and study pro wrestling, those are the go-to guys. Rick Rude, how they sell, how they act, how they look in the ring. Now I study guys like Jericho. You know, Jericho is that guy that he comes back, he never loses his spot. I love that guy. I think he's an amazing wrestler. Just a bunch of them. Just Triple H, I like Triple H's work also.
Yeah, how can you not love those guys you mentioned? They're all absolutely awesome. They're some of the greats of all time.
The Rock, all those guys, yeah. You know, like, I just can't forget those guys, because even though you had your side guys, those are the main guys at the end you will watch at the main event. You know, like, you watch, oh, I can't wait for the Hardy Boy match. And then, okay, the Hardy Boys match is over. Okay, I can't wait for the Rocks match now. You know, like,
yeah.
I miss those days where you couldn't wait for a match, you know. And they're bringing it back, you know. Honestly, I see it. I watch it on television now. They're bringing it back, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, you're liking the whole Daniel Bryan, Triple H kind of storyline that's brewing right now?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. It's clever. It's funny. You know, old school good guy, bad guy. That's not fair type deal, you know.
Yeah, it's cool, man. They're going back to basics with it. I'm definitely a proponent for it. I love it. And I'm going to bring in John right now, who is from Brooklyn, New York. And he will be with us. He's actually hooking us up with the tickets and everything to FWE on October 12th. In Brooklyn. John, man, you got any comments for Jorge tonight?
Yeah, hey, Jorge, how's it going, man?
How's it going, John?
Good, good. Checked you out last couple months ago in Corona. Nice showing in the Rumble. You know, you mentioned, you know, getting into Eddie and whatnot. You know, was there one particular match of Eddie's that really, you know, got you going into him, or was it just the whole body of work?
No, just the whole body of work. It was... Like, let's see, I got into his old stuff. I originally got into his old stuff with Dean Malenko in ECW.
Ah, nice.
And then I started looking through other stuff, and I saw his stuff in Japan. And then I went, I was like, what about his WWE stuff? And then I started from his last match and then went down the lines. And you can just see the evolution to how awesome he just got out of nowhere. From 2002 to, like, to his demise, he was just a great, great wrestler.
Yeah, I could, you know, seeing you at the last couple of shows, I definitely see where people are getting the comparison, man, and it's definitely not a bad thing.
Okay, good. Because I don't think it's a bad thing. I just think, you know, I want to be original, you know, and just, if I'm original, and then if I'm thinking I'm original, and then people are saying, well, you remind me of Eddie Guerrero, like, well, that's not being original, then. You know what I mean? Like, I'm the type, I love to reinvent myself. I love to... You know, whether my style, whether what I have to say about something, whether I have to wear something. It's all about reinventing. I don't want to get old.
Yeah, I hear you, man. And we're looking forward to seeing you against Red on the 12th.
Thank you. Yeah, you're coming on down, right?
Yep.
Nice. Yeah, the card is stacked, man. The card. This is just the lineup of names. You got Red Titus, Joey Ryan, Paul London, Colt Cabana, Chris Mordecki, Carlito Colon, Tommy Dreamer, Matt Morgan, Petey Williams, Wes Draven, John Hannigan, Tony Nese, and Brian Kendricks. And who knows what FWE has in store for surprises as well.
Absolutely stacked card. Talent from up and down, from top to bottom, absolutely. And there's going to be a big tournament. First round of the tournament will be going on. It's the Open Weight Grand Prix. And it'll be on iPay-per-view, correct?
Yes, I preview you.
Yeah,
just tune
that's
in,
awesome.
You'll catch it. You'll just follow the links, and you'll know where to go from there if you want to see good talent.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And there were a couple guys that were booked for the show originally. I know Mike Bennett has worked a lot of FWE in the past, and Jay Lee.
I was actually looking forward to that.
Yeah, you're scheduled to go one-on-one with Mike Bennett originally,
I was looking forward to that.
They were pulled from the show. Now, what do you know about that? How did that happen?
It's a contract. That's it. You know, you sign a contract. You know, you sign a contract and you go into another federation or, you know, another company, and you can't do it because some companies have the livelihood to be on television, like FWE. FWE is good enough, if not better, to be on television right now, with not alone the talent. You know, like, we work hard for them, and they work hard for us. And that's you can't find that anywhere else, ever.
No, absolutely. And the thing that bothers me about it,
that's the hard part, because of the competition.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, well, the thing that bothers me about it, man, and tell me if you agree with me or not, is that, you know, Ring of Honor, of course, they have their guys under contract now and yada, yada, yada. But what they're essentially doing is they're taking money out of the pockets of their wrestlers, their rosters. Because if there is not a Ring of Honor show on a certain night and there's another company doing an iPay-per-view or whatever, you're literally taking that booking away from the wrestler who's
on the
table.
It also involves credibility to the other wrestlers, to their wrestlers. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a nobody. I'm not signed. I'm not on Ring of Honor television, you know, as much as I should be. or want to be. But if someone like me out of nowhere don't have a name on the Ring of Honor card that's already televised international, well, I believe through the state so far, I think, I'm not sure if it's international yet. And you got Mike Bennett, who's a well-known wrestler in Ring of Honor, and I beat him. Who is this nobody beating somebody that's on a live televised show? You understand what I mean?
Yeah, good point. Good point. Yeah, you really put it in perspective right there. That's a great point. I'm not thinking about the booking.
But I'm not saying I'm a nobody because I could kick his ass if I wanted to. But
I love it.
As I'm saying, but you know, that's just the psychology of looking at things through a contract.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I get it now. That makes perfect sense to me. I'm going to bring in one of my co-hosts. I'm going to bring in Toph right now. And Toph, man, you got any questions or comments for Jorge tonight?
So bring it.
The question I really have is, was there a particular Eddie Guerrero match in, that you favor more than the rest of them? What would you say is your favorite Eddie match?
Eddie match? I have two of them. One was with Rey Mysterio and him. It was a SmackDown show. It was a SmackDown show and... they were playing with the crowd, and that's just like if you could capture every seat in the house but what you're doing, then, man, hats off to you. You know, like, they did something with the belt exchange where they were faking injuries, and it was, I don't recall the day, but it was such a great freaking match, and I was hooked, and I had to download it on my iPod so I could watch it every time and just be in awe. And then his other match was... with him and JBL, where it was like Bloodfest, where he freaking, it was like Last Man Standing, I think it was.
I think so.
JBL busted him open, and he lost like 99% of his blood that match.
Oh, yeah, that match, yeah.
That was crazy. And that was just, you could just see the art in that. I'm just, I've been into a thing where I look at wrestling now as an art, and for you know, it is, in a way, so I look at wrestling as an art, and that match bled art, basically.
Oh, I agree with you. That's what Joey Styles said. I remember at a ECW One Night Stand when Eddie and Benoit were wrestling, he called them both artists and said that the canvas was their board,
yeah,
or something along,
yeah,
those lines.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I agree. No problem.
Jorge, man, you obviously have been on the scene for a while. What's the ultimate goal for you in professional wrestling? You trying to get that WWE contract, or what's the deal?
Yes, I am. I'm clawing. I did an evaluation in Iowa for WWE in July, and you know they had a good feedback about me. That was a good thing. You know, they crushed a lot of dreams, in which you know you have to, in a sport where you have to take yourself serious. You understand?
Yeah.
You know, they came in, they told people what they thought about them, and, you know, luckily I was the one that passed by, like, you have a good look, Santi, this and this and this, and cut a promo for me, and I cut a promo. Sucked, but it was a promo, and it was over a little bit. You know, it was, you know, I'm scratching and clawing, that's it. And if I don't make it, then, you know, I enjoy pro wrestling. You know, I enjoy making people happy. I enjoy the inner city celebrity I get from it, you know, hopefully I get signed. You know, I catch somebody's eye and they're interested in me.
Yeah,
so
keep chasing it because
I got support life with it.
Yeah, don't stop chasing it, man, because they just opened up that gigantic performance center down in Orlando, and they're going to need spots to be filled.
It was beautiful.
Know?
I'd be in that promo booth every day.
You know, that's the thing, is that a lot of you guys, I was talking to Red about this and a couple other people I know, is you got to think about the fact that a lot of the guys that are there right now are going to be brought up to the main roster, who knows, within 12 months, whatever, 6, 12 months.
Yeah.
A lot of those people are going to be brought up.
I think it took like Fandango like 7 years or something like that to get to the main roster, you know what I mean? And
yeah,
that's
it happens
because,
that way.
You know, he finally got his break, and his break came at a good time. That's, right there, that's a good time. That's good, like, you know, good opportunity, you know.
Yeah, he was doing the Johnny Curtis thing, and it wasn't really working too well, and he got over his Fandango. But that's the thing, is as they bring people up, those spots down in developmental, those spots that are going to be opening up, they're just going to be bringing in more and more talent, because that's what they want to do.
Know.
They don't want to only preserve the WWE future. They want to preserve the future of professional wrestling.
And that's what I learned also. I learned a lot of aspect. You know, I'm going to come in and out of ideas, but I can't. I learned a lot television-wise, and how to produce myself for television from Ring of Honor. Then I go and I go to that evaluation in Iowa for WWE, and I learned a lot more about being global. I learned a lot more about about what they're gonna do with the developmental. Now I'm an indie wrestler. Most indie wrestlers are out of shape, and I'm one of the few that are in shape. But most of them are out of shape, and they're not looking for indie wrestlers as they used to. You know, they're looking for collegiate athletes, the people that
right.
embed conditioning in their head. And you know, I ever since when I heard, you know, I always like to be on top of the game. I always like to be inside the filter. This way, I could have an advantage always. You know, someone says, "Oh, I went over here, and it was cool, this and that." I say, "Oh, so what you learn? This and that." This way, if it's something I can use or something that will complement me, I will take it and I will apply it if I'm seen by anybody with, you know, valuable eyes. And they use the collegiate athletes, and that's something that I had to change my workout. Now I'm doing more running. I'm doing more cardio, a lot of burpees. So, because, you know,
good.
Wrestling is an up-and-down sport. You have to get up. So.
Right. Yeah, I was actually about to ask you about that, because here at Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, we like to get over fitness. We like to, you know, talk about fitness with all the wrestlers that are on the show and
yeah.
their fitness routine. I'm personally, I'm not like jacked to the gills, but I enjoy, because I don't have like a physical job, but I enjoy getting.
You got a little something,
gym.
Something. I saw your picture. You're like,
yeah,
little jacked.
I'm like 200 pounds. Yeah, I'm like 200 pounds or whatever. But I'm pretty strong. You know, I like to get in the gym. I like to
yeah.
lift. I just love it, you know, I love it so much. But, yeah, that's great that you threw that out there. So anybody listening, get your ass in shape, because
yeah.
that's what we do here.
You know,
look
up football workouts. Those are the best workouts you can get. Look up amateur wrestling. I'm an amateur wrestler. I look up amateur wrestling workouts. Well, it's not hard to. I just go back in my mind from when I was in high school and just do the workouts that I saw in high school. And it's a lot of running, a lot of drills, you know, a lot of keeping
yeah.
pace.
Well, let me tell you what, brother. A couple weeks ago, I worked out with Rhett at Super Planet Fitness. Me and Rhett, we worked out together, and yeah, he kicked my ass, bro. He's that guy is in serious shape, and
that's one thing I'll give him, because I know he comes off as a jerk a lot with a lot of guys in the back and stuff, and I'll give him this. He's good at conditioning. Since 2007, we rarely talk. But when I do see him, like at the Ring of Honor shows, and I see him, he's on his hustle conditioning. He's always doing his squats, always doing his push-ups, always doing bench dips. But well, from what I see, he's you know, he reminds me of who's the guy that does the chicken wing? Forgot.
Bob Backlund?
Yes, Bob Backlund. And you know, it's funny because I had him at the tip of my tongue also. Bob Backlund, if you see him, he's always running up and down the stairs. And that's what Rick Titus reminds you of, Bob Backlund.
Oh, man, I'm going to tell him you said that, bro. No, I'm just kidding.
He does. That's actually a good compliment, because Bob Backlund, there's no off button on that guy. So,
yeah,
especially for his age.
And Bob Backlund is fucking nuts as well, man. He's out of his mind.
He's out of his freaking mind.
But, he kicked my ass in the gym, so he's in serious shape. I don't think I've been more sore in a very long time since that workout with Rhett. And just to let you know, you're in for it on October 12th. It's
yeah,
going to be
no,
a war.
I started lifting heavier. I started going. I run the Brooklyn Bridge every Wednesday. That's Brooklyn's my terrain.
Very nice, man. Now, you mentioned Ring of Honor. We talked a lot about Ring of Honor today. What was your experience like working for ROH?
It was great. I was like everybody else. You got QT Marshall, Mike Bennett, certain guys. They did the tryouts, and they got seen and they got signed. I was one of them that got seen and they liked and they used me. My first match was against the Bravados in Rhode Island, Providence. It was fun, man. Being that it was like my first real gig, I had major gigs before. It was one of my first gigs where it involved actual television, live television. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I drove out there. I loved to travel. I went out there and I had good feedback after the match. And then April 6th, I came down. I was, you know, in my hometown. And it was the Manhattan Center, and I wrestled against Tiberius Thomas.
Nice.
That was an awesome match also. You know, you only have a certain amount of time to prove yourself, and I think I proved myself well, you know, before Scum came out and disempowered me.
Oh, man. Let me ask you this, man. You know, WWE's that brass ring. That's where you want to be. But if a company like TNA or ROH said, hey, man, we want to put you under contract, what would your thoughts be on that?
Any good publicity I need, because I know my worth. You know, I've been doing this too long to be like, oh, no, it's okay, I'm just waiting for WWE. No, if I can make my name, I can make my name.
Absolutely. I love it. I dig it, bro. I like that. I like that attitude, man. I really like that.
Thank you.
You've had some great – I'm looking at your FWE history right now. I'm kind of scrolling through your matches, and you had a match with Chris Mordetsky where you almost won, but he just squeaked out the win against
that,
you.
That match was actually my first person ever wrestled with a name. And
ooh.
I had studied him so much in that match just to see what he was all about, let alone, you know, give my best in that match. And it turned out to be actually one of my best matches.
Now, there's a lot of misconceptions about a guy like that because he was never really a move guy in WWE. He only really had that one move, the Master Lock, and he was kind of jacked up.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of fans who are independent wrestling fans that'll get on his case for not being that stereotypical guy, but you're putting him over pretty good here.
No, you know, like, we have our fallouts. You know, he's in his own world most of the time, but, like, I give him respect for the fact that, you know, he let me take the chance with him, you know? You know, like when I first saw him come in, it was funny. I'm like, oh, look, he's through the threshold. He's mad small. Then he's coming closer. He's getting bigger. Then he's coming closer. Now he's like, I'm sitting down. He's still my height. I'm like, all right, this guy's huge. I'm like, how the hell am I going to go work with this guy? And just, you know, we did it. We pushed it together. And I'm telling you, man, it was one of my best experiences. I learned so much in that match.
That's awesome. That's great. And FWE October 12th, you're going to fight against Rhett Titus in the first round of
Rhett Titus
Grand Prix. And hey, man, I'm giving you the open forum here. We got a lot of listeners. We usually get, you know, anywhere from 500 to a couple thousand people that listen to the show every week.
What we got going on now? What's the number here?
Right now, I don't have live numbers. I don't have that. I'm not.
Okay.
This is Blog Talk. You know, Blog Talk Radio sucks. When I eventually get like a real podcast going, I'll have you back in the show, and the audio will be so much better, and the fan base will be so much bigger. But, you know, right now we're stuck on Blog Talk Radio doing this over the phone. But you have the opportunity right now, live here in the air, to give Rhett Titus some words. Yeah, promote yourself, get yourself over, and give some words to Rhett, because I told Rhett to listen to this. I told him that,
I hope he is listening.
Let's hope so, because I'm gonna make sure he does. I'm gonna send him the audio clip. So if you got any shit to talk, if you wanna cut a little bit of a promo on Rhett Titus, here's the open mic to do it.
Well, the brackets are in, Rhett Titus, and Jorge Santi is right above your name. And when that's done, I'm gonna make sure my name is right next to the word champion. All right, so where I stand, there is no stepping stone. And I'll see you October 12th in Bay Ridge, New York, 95th Street and 4th Avenue at St. Patrick's.
Love it. Great job.
Would you want me to get meaner? You want me to get meaner? Rhett Titus, you didn't even win! Plain and simple.
I fucking love it. If the fans want to get a hold of you, where can they find you? On Twitter, Facebook, what do you got?
Twitter, you want to catch me at, follow me at InnerCitySanti. What? InnerCity_Santi. SANTI. Facebook, same thing. It's facebook.com/SuperSanti87. And if you want to catch me on YouTube, just put in Jorge Santi versus VS, and you'll catch a bunch of my matches. For more feedback on Grand Prix, I want you to also check out FWEWrestling.com.
All right, brother. And I'm blasting that out right now to all my Twitter followers, hoping to get people on the bandwagon a little bit. And, man, thanks so much for being on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio tonight. Man, you're welcome back.
No problem. It was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to get in touch with you on October 12th. When we're there, we're going to be running around with a video camera and a microphone and doing things the fun way, having a good time. We'll get you on the air, and get you live on TV. We'll get you on, you know, we'll put a YouTube video up there, and you can cut a promo, and we'll talk to you a little bit more, ask some questions I didn't get to tonight. But once again, thanks so much for being on the show, Jorge.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Beautiful. Jorge Santi right there, folks. Going into battle, into war with Rhett Titus on October 12th for FWE, man. And it's going to be a great match. So, Rhett, if you're listening, Jorge had some words for you, my friend. And it's going to be a war. It's going to be a great match. So let's get your thoughts on this, John. We're going to be there. We're going to be live in the building. Jorge Santi, man, what are your thoughts on the interview tonight?
Yeah, great interview. You know, he's a good talent. He really is. He really brings a lot. And you know, if you haven't seen him yet, you know, I think you're gonna like what you see. I think him and Rhett will work well together. And you know, we'll see how it shakes out on the 12th.
Absolutely, man. I think it's gonna be a great match. And you know, I love having independent wrestlers on the show because they give us a different perspective on the business. Like I'm thinking in my head about the whole Ring of Honor thing, how they pulled Bennett and Lethal. And you know, Jorge beat Bennett. He made a great point. How does that look the next time Bennett shows up in Ring of Honor and you know, he just got his shoulders pinned to the mat in FWE? I get it now. It makes a little more sense to me. You know, it's stuff like that I don't really think about too much. But tell us, man, what were your thoughts on the interview tonight?
Well, I thought it was a good interview. He seems very humble, like a nice guy. I wish him nothing but the best.
Absolutely, man. And we're going to continue to support FWE. Will had to leave. So, you know what? I don't have our all-star fantasy wrestling stats right here in front of me. I don't have them. Will's my guy for that. He takes care of them all. I don't know if you guys know your scores or not. I know I gained some points for sure since last week, but we'll update everybody on that next week here on the show, and hopefully Will can get on that. I know he's going to be editing the video tonight that we took at Pro Wrestling Syndicate, so it should be awesome. But right now we're going to take another short break, guys, so bear with me. I'm having some issues tonight, personal issues I don't really want to talk about, but yeah, having a little bit of issues, but we'll be right back and we'll talk a little bit of TNA. We're going to jump into the big leagues a bit, and I want to talk about the big promo between Dixie Carter and AJ Styles. Where is it heading? What the hell are they doing? And, you know, what does the future hold for TNA wrestling? Is it bullshit or not? Is Hulk Hogan leaving TNA? I don't know.
Goddamn right.
I guess, you know, Heisenberg says that he's leaving. So I just asked Heisenberg. He says he's gone. But, hey, we'll be right back here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio.
Oh, baby!
Turn him
over. That's right.
Get up, I get. First I snap the streets, then I snap the charts. First I had they ear, now I have they heart. Rappers came and went, I've been here from the start. I seen them put it together, watch them take it apart. Seen the rovers roll up with ribbons. I seen them repo, resold, and redriven. So when I reload, he hold number one positions. When you hot, I'm hot. And when your feet cold, mine's a sizzling, it's plain to see. Niggas can't fuck with me, cause I'ma be that nigga for life. This is not an image. This is God-given, this is hard living, mixed with crystal slipping. It's the most consistent home, you get a most hit. You can fit inside a home distance. Nigga, I'm home on these charts, y'all niggas visiting. This whole position, Jeff Gore in the rap. I'm back to claim pole position, holla at your boy.
Get up, I get down for my grandfather who took my mama, made her sit in that seat where white folks ain't want us to eat. At the tender age of six, she was arrested for the sit-ins, and with that in my blood, I was born to be different. Now niggas can't make it to balance to choose leadership, but we can make it to Jacobs or to the dealership. That's why I hear new music and I just don't be feeling it. Racism's still alive, they just be concealing it, but I know they don't want me in a damn club. Club. They even made me show ID to get inside of Sam's Club. I done did dirt and went to church to get my hands scrubbed. Swear I've been baptized these 3 or 4 times. But in the land where niggas praise you kinds of getting paid, gonna take a lot more than coupons to get a save. Like it take a lot more than do-rags to get your way. Nothing sad is that day my girl father passed away. So I promised to Mr. Rainey I'm gonna marry your daughter. And you know I gotta thank you for the way that she was brought up. And I know that you was smiling when you seen the car brought her. And you sent tears from heaven when you seen my car get balled up. But I can't complain what the accident did to my left eye. Cause look what an accident did to left eye. First Aaliyah, now Romeo must die. I know I got angels watching me from the other side.
We're back here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. And, yeah, just had to take a little break there. I got a little bit of a sore throat. And I'm holding in the cough all night long. I just want to cough into this microphone. I just want to hock loogies into the microphone. But I'm not going to do it. I'm in kind of a crazy, wild mood. I like free-flowing on the show. I like having a good time. And I want to send a special shout-out to a new podcast that I've been listening to. My buddy out in Chicago just became friends over Twitter. Fort Denny, check him out at The Fort Show on Twitter, and check out his podcast every single Wednesday. Man, it's a fun show, dude. He talks about porn, he talks about wrestling, talks about sports, you know, has hot-ass porn stars on his guests. I love it. It's a great podcast, a lot of fun. So check out The Fort Show at The Fort Show on Twitter. I just want to bring back Toph and John, JCD Dimaselli, man, and hey, let's talk a little bit about TNA Wrestling, and we saw that big shoot interview the other week, last week, I guess, on Impact, and, you know, anyone who reads spoilers knew it was going to happen, but I don't read spoilers, I don't believe in spoilers, I don't even believe in stupid-ass dirt sheets, so, Toph, man, you, as I say every week, you're our TNA diehard, and I want to hear your thoughts, your exclusive thoughts here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio on the entire AJ Styles, Dixie Carter storyline.
Well, fans hate Dixie anyway, so turning her heel is definitely the best move. She came off much better as a heel, or at least I thought she did. I think the fans are going to go along with it. I thought that AJ made a lot of good points in the promo. He mentioned a lot of people that were relevant to TNA, like Loki or Senshi or Jerry Lynn or Elix Skipper or Petey Williams, and so on and so forth. The promo made sense. You know, AJ definitely seemed to be a little bit more comfortable than the last promo where he just kind of talked and talked and talked and like 10 minutes went by. I just think that if they're going to get rid of Hogan, this is the best way to do it. Of course, if you fire Hogan, that will make her a babyface, depending on your point of view. But if you're going to get rid of Hogan or Sting or Angle, I mean, there's a lot of older, you know, talents that need to go, and if you want to get rid of them, this is the perfect way to do it. And if you want to bring back Jeff Jarrett, this is your way to do it right here. This all makes sense because in the promo, she basically said that, you know, TNA is the house that she built, which isn't true. Jarrett built it. And she's basically saying that it's a gimmick that I gave AJ, which isn't true. Jarrett did it. So more than likely, this is the way that they'll bring back Jarrett if he wants to come back. And if they want to get rid of Hogan or Sting, then this is it right here. So this is definitely the, no pun intended, this is the impact of the angle. So I definitely saw this as, when I watched it, I had the same vibe that I had when Vince McMahon became Mr. McMahon, you know, when the Vince McMahon character dropped and it became Mr. McMahon. I don't think we're going to be seeing Dixie Carter anymore. I definitely see a name change coming. And this is what TNA needs. TNA has never really had, like, a hateable heel authority figure. Not since Bischoff. And, you know, Bischoff is cool, but he's a figure we've seen before. Not since the days of Cornette and before that. You know, this is really, like, the first genuinely new, hated authority figure that TNA's had in a long time.
it's different, and, you know, best of luck to them. So my only beef is they haven't done anything to build towards AJ versus Bully. That's right. Their main, you know, that's their calling card. That's going to be the main event of Bound for Glory. And so far, they're not even mentioning that. Bully's not talking about AJ. AJ's not talking about Bully. With Bully, they got this side story with the Aces and A's falling apart. And with AJ, he's more focused on Dixie. And, I mean, they do have a match at Bound for Glory, and so far they haven't really focused on that yet. And so, they're running out of time. I think they got, like, 3 weeks left, so they need to start, pushing that. But overall, though, I thought it was a good segment, and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, man, I hope it's not one of those storylines that kind of has video packages, you know, where the guys just, like, talks about them in, like, a little sit-down interview. I hope they do some interaction-type stuff, because at this point in time, not mentioning it on, like, your first night of build. I mean, AJ did mention that he's going to win the world title and stuff like that, but not mentioning Bully Ray's name, and Bully Ray not mentioning AJ's name, doesn't make a lot of sense in the first night of build. But, you know, I didn't mind Dixie Carter as much as others. There was a little too much Southern drawl in that little segment for me. But I think, yeah, I think Jeff Jarrett's probably the key to this. Except, you know, if you let Hogan go, if you let go of the biggest wrestler in the history of professional wrestling, you know, where do you go from there? Hogan's already going to be on Impact. He's going to be on Impact this week. And I just wonder how you get from point A to point B with Hogan. Is the new heel Dixie Carter going to fire Hulk Hogan? Because if that happens, that'll really, really get her over as a heel. It'll give her a lot of heat. John, let's hear your thoughts on the whole Dixie Carter AJ Styles story.
Well, turning her heel, I agree, is one of the smartest things they've done because, Ass Dixie was just a huge, overwhelming success. People don't like her, people hate her. So turning her makes sense. The one thing I hate with this, and I also hate it with the Stephanie and Big Show angle, is there's not going to be a payoff in the sense of what kind of retribution is AJ going to get on her. She's not going to do anything physical, obviously. Unless she just starts pairing up with Bully and, you know, to prevent AJ from winning the title, you know, and AJ has to go through every guy that she, you know, lines up and throws at him, there's no payoff. That's the only problem with this. Other than that, as far as AJ and Bully go, they've got 4 shows counting this Thursday, so there's tons of time for them to get involved with each other. And as far as Hogan goes, I think you had it earlier this week. Supposedly there was something that said she's got to choose one or the other. I think she would choose Sting, but Spike would probably make her want to choose Hogan. But we'll see what happens with that. I think that as much as, you know, dirt sheets and even stuff Hogan puts out there can be a little, you know, different from reality, I think if there's ever a chance that these two guys are finally leaving, it's probably this year because of the whole money situation.
Yeah, but you know what? Well, John, real quick, though, you got to understand something here. And I know I'm a fan of Hogan. I'm a fan of Eric Bischoff, Sting, and all these guys. I love Mark. They're all great. And Eric Bischoff, you know, he made a comment. As soon as this supposed report came out that him and Hogan are finishing up or, you know, the contracts end on October 1st or what have you, Eric Bischoff went right on Twitter, and he called it a bunch of digital diarrhea. And I freaking responded to him. I said, I love that. Can I take it? And he goes, it's all yours. So I'm using the term digital diarrhea from now on because I was given it by Eric Bischoff. And I've got the proof, damn it. So in my estimation, if I don't see – and it's just the way I roll. I don't believe a damn thing that Dave Meltzer or any of these jackoffs say. That's just the way I am. That's just what I believe in. What I do believe in is when a guy like Hogan or a guy like Bischoff comes out and says it. If Hogan comes out and says, oh, brother, my contract ends October 1st. Not sure what I'm going to do, brother. Maybe I'm going to go back to Vince. If he says that, I fucking believe it. Even though it's Hogan and he's known to lie and get himself over, I believe it if he says his contract's ending October 1st. But if Meltzer says it, I just can't believe it. I don't think anything
they
say.
Yeah, but this goes past this goes past Meltzer and Eisenberg and Labar and Alvarez and the rest of those jerk-offs. If you go back to 09, when he signed the original deal, it was 2 years and then year to year. He signed that deal the end of September. Remember, he didn't debut until January. It was like 2 or 3 months before he actually showed up. So if you go by that, just from the pure, go back to the initial press release and press conference, this makes sense time-wise. Remember, Hogan's thing at Bound for Glory 11, his contract was, there was even talk with his contract being, you know, up in the air around then, which is October. So I don't think this is a Meltzer, Eisenberg, Alvarez, Labar, just put something out there to put it out there story. I do think this is one of those few things that is real. And, you know, with the money aspect and with the way guys are getting dropped left and right, Mickey James, Ken Anderson are the latest two now that their profiles are gone. You know, they could pop up at any time. You know, all the AJ stuff, I don't think that's coming out of midair. I think there's validity to that. This has got a chance of happening. And, you know, like you said, if she fires Hogan – and then she somehow finds a way to get rid of Sting. You know, maybe she turns around if heaven forbid she were to fire Hogan, and then she looks at Sting and says, hey, you know what, you told me this guy was good 2 years ago. You know what, am I doing listening to you? What, if, you know, I'm done with you too, you're out. You know, Sting said it every year. It's towards the end of the year. Every year it's contract time. So the Sting stuff is also real because that stuff's come out of Sting's mouth himself.
Well, you know what? Hey, good, great point.
It's become very apparent that if something has to give, this Sting stuff has been, you know, I'll give Dixie credit. They've gotten more mileage out of Sting than she was supposed to. This Sting stuff has been going on for some time now. It's been going on like since 08. You know, that he was going to leave then, but he wanted to put AJ over, and then they had their match at Bound for Glory. And if you remember, they were billing that as Sting's last match. That was supposed to be it. But, you know, Dixie kept convincing him, and, you know, every year he would just kind of re-sign a contract the last minute, and it was just the same, you know. And they kept, you know, doing it year in and year out. But now it's getting to the point where he's done everything he can do in TNA. He's really accomplished everything. There's really no more he can do as far as an in-ring standpoint goes, maybe being a backstage agent or being an authority figure or something. It's gotten to the point where you can't have Hogan and Sting at the same time anymore. One of them has to go. Either Hogan has to go or Sting has to go. Worst case scenario, they both go. And if Dixie fires both of them, can you just imagine the heat she'll have?
Oh,
I
yeah.
I mean, that would be like the equivalent of Mr. McMahon and kayfabe firing The Rock and Stone Cold in the Attitude Era at the same time. If that was to happen, the heat she would get, that would be incredible. Now, not only that, just imagine the buzz of Sting and Hogan being gone. You know, that would just, I mean, it probably won't happen because realistically speaking, one of them will leave and the other one will stay. But if they were to get fired, that would just be incredible because, like I said, fans hate Dixie anyway. You know, that Twitter thing was a fail. And, you know, that's what's so great about this. They realize that fans don't like Dixie. So just go ahead and turn her into a bitch then. Just take advantage of it, you know? Just like with Edge, you know, that whole thing with Edge and Lita and Matt Hardy, he was a douchebag, and WWE just took advantage of it, and they gave him a gimmick. And it worked. It worked wonders. So you might as well take advantage of real-life heat and give her a character. As far as Hogan and Sting goes, selfishly, I would prefer Sting to leave and Hogan to stay. But I think the better business move would be for Hogan to leave. That's just me. That's how I feel about it.
Now, if Eric Bischoff, though, is writing the show right now, which everybody's saying Eric Bischoff's the writer, he's the guy doing all the creative. If Hogan's leaving, is Bischoff staying? John, what do you think about that?
I think at one point, I think they're at a point where they are separable. And I think as much as it's cool to work with your best friend every day, you know what? I think, you know, you got to be smart about it. I think, you know, Bischoff needs to see that money, and this is not against Hogan per se, but just the dollar sign with it, that money can go more productively. And if Bischoff's the guy writing the shows, you know what? now you're going to get a couple more bullets in your gun. Why not do it? You know, sure it wouldn't affect, I'm sure Hogan wouldn't tell Bischoff to go screw himself if Hogan got let go and Bischoff stayed. You know, I don't think Hogan's that vain and that batshit crazy. So, I don't think there's anything there. I kind of agree with Toph, though. I do think Sting's going to be the guy that goes. I think, Spike and Viacom, if it's true that they're pumping money and they were the ones picking up the bill for Hogan, then I think Hogan's going to stay another year. I think it will be a very short leash year. And then I could definitely see it being done this time next year, but I definitely do not expect Sting to last the year there. I thought the 8-person elimination a month ago was the way they were going to get rid of him. I was a little surprised when they didn't, but yeah, they're going to find a way. I think Bound for Glory is going to be it for him in that company.
Another thing too, if you remember, this whole new Main Event Mafia thing, the whole point of it was to get rid of the Aces and Eights. And if you've been noticing on the television, they've completely, very silently just moved on, and now they're focusing on the feud with Ego, a.k.a. Rude and Bad Influence. They've moved on. They very silently have just kind of killed the Main Event Mafia, Aces and Eights thing, which has convinced me even further that they have nothing for Sting, because that was the whole point of the new Main Event Mafia. The whole point of it was to feud with the Aces and Eights, and the fact that, the writers are like, let's just move on. That just tells me that they have nothing for Sting. So
yeah, I could see a 6-man at Bound for Glory, same thing. Loser of the fall leaves, and maybe Rude pins Sting.
Yeah, that'll probably it.
Be a great way for Sting to go. He's putting somebody over on his way out, and he gets his swan song at their biggest pay-per-view. And that's another thing. You got Bound for Glory coming up. They've really only got one match booked. We'll see what the future holds for that. But switching gears a little bit with from TNA to a little bit of WWE. And, last night was Monday Night Raw. And we saw a show that was good, wasn't great, definitely wasn't great. Hasn't been as good as most Raws have been in the recent memory. A lot of them fit the nail on the head. But I liked a few things they did, as well as that 11-on-3 handicap match, which to me it kind of defied logic in a way, because you would always think that the heels would be the guys who have 11, and the babyfaces would have to overcome those odds. But they really kind of got the point across that the Shield are a force to be reckoned with. But kind of to take those two topics, TNA and WWE, and kind of smash them together, but we're talking Hogan Sting here. Can you guys, and we'll go to John first, see Hogan and or Sting, WrestleMania 30 is around the corner. Could you see those guys, if they leave TNA within the next couple months, appear in WWE?
Yeah, without a doubt. Any plans for Undertaker will get thrown right out the window, and it will be Sting Taker. Hogan could definitely make an appearance. I don't think he could work or wrestle, but yeah, Hogan definitely. I could see them both going. As much as Hogan and Vince bicker, at the end of the day, they both know what's best for business. I hate to use that term, and as long as Hogan realizes it's 2014 and not 1984 or 94. With his price tag, Hogan will be back. I think Sting's an automatic. I think it's a no-brainer. I even wrote this article a month or so ago about how, I could definitely see it happening. And, that alone right there, forget whatever the main events of WrestleMania 30 would be. If you're able to say, okay, WrestleMania 30, it wasn't as big as 20, which that was kind of criminal that Hogan didn't go into the Hall of Fame then. But especially being in Madison Square Garden. But if you could have WrestleMania 30 with Undertaker, Sting, maybe third or fourth on that card, and then whatever you're going to have with Cena, Bryan, Punk, Lesnar, whatever, and then also you're going to get some sort of Hogan appearance, heck, just to totally screw with everybody, I'd try to get creative, and I know they wouldn't have a match, but find a way to put Austin and Hogan in the ring together.
Oh, my God. Man, I would much rather see Hogan versus Triple H.
Behold the King, the King of Kings. On your knees, dog.
That's what he basically says to us every single week. He says, on your knees, dog. Hogan versus Triple H, man. You want to talk about a match that has happened a couple times in the past, but if you put that at WrestleMania, this is a guy, Triple H being a heel, and you know how over the top he can be as a heel. He'd be bumping around like Shawn Michaels was at SummerSlam 2005. And you could take, you know, have
that
him
again.
Be like, what? Huh? Yeah, exactly. You could have him. You know, I'd love to see Hogan. I'm a big Hogan fan, and I just can't wait to talk about this. I'd love to see Hogan versus anybody at WrestleMania 30 or WrestleMania 31 or WrestleMania 32. I'd love to see Hogan versus John Cena. It would be ugly. It would be great. The crowd atmosphere would be phenomenal, though. You cannot doubt the spectacle of it all. It would probably be one of the ugliest matches we've ever seen. It wouldn't even be like Rock Hogan at WrestleMania 18. No, because that was freaking forever ago. That was over 10 years ago. I mean, Hogan can barely walk, but to see him get in there, yeah.
Your notion of Triple H Hogan at WrestleMania just made my son cry.
You know what, dude?
Wow.
How about this?
Goddamn right.
You know, that's what I do. I make babies cry, man. That's what it's all about.
Ultimate heel move.
I'm definitely a Hulk Hogan mark. I've been admitting it since day one. I love the guy. Grew up on the guy. I got his freaking, right on in my studio here, I have the original Hulkamania 40-minute audio workout program. Hulk Hogan saying, come on, brother.
Hulkamania workout set.
I don't actually have the set anymore, but I still have the tape. It's a 1985 Titan Sports, Inc. Hulkamania is a trademark of the Marvel Comics Group, licensed exclusively to Titan Sports, Inc. The character likeness is a trademark of Titan Sports, Inc., all right reserved. Boom. I have that sitting here on my desk in my studio. That's how much of a fan I am of Hulk Hogan. And I really hope he goes to WWE, gets one last run, brother, and is able to sit back, relax for the rest of his life, get a huge, huge, huge WrestleMania paycheck, and just enjoy the rest of his life, brother, because he deserves it. I think they would be much more inclined to put Hulk Hogan back in the ring than to put Ric Flair back in the ring, because Ric Flair is fucking batshit crazy. Speaking on this note, though, Ric Flair being batshit, how about this? We haven't talked about this yet on the show, and it's probably a week overdue. I know we had Bruce Hart in a big show last week. Or did we talk? Maybe we did talk about this last week. I don't remember. But Jim Ross. Why don't we talk a little bit about JR here, who recently retired from the WWE, and the speculation mounts. And I say speculation very sternly. I have not listened to his interview with Stone Cold Steve Austin just yet. I plan on listening to it tomorrow. So I'm not sure what he said on the Steve Austin show. But as far as this is concerned, I believe he retired. I don't believe he got fired or yelled at or scolded or whatever for what happened with Ric Flair. I think it was more or less, you know, McMahon said, you know what, Jim, we're moving in a different direction. You've been giving us all this service since 1993, yada, yada, yada. You helped build the company to what it is today. Here is a huge fucking severance package. We will still sell your barbecue sauce and your beef jerky and your cookbook and all that nonsense, but get the fuck out. Retire, buddy, and you know that. I think it's fine. I don't have any problem with it. Toph, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I mean, they weren't using Jim Ross anyway, so
exactly. When was the last?
I just thought it was weird that he would just come out and call a match for like one match, then leave. I thought that was so strange. Like, I know at WrestleMania 27 he stayed, but he just called one match at 28, and there were a few Raws where he just called one match and left. And, you know, his style of commentating, it doesn't gel with WWE anymore because, he talks about the ring, the actual, you know, moves going on in the ring and stuff, kind of like how Joey Styles used to do nowadays. They just talk about the story and stuff. And, you know, back when in JR's day, you know, he had, you know, Bobby Heenan and Tony Schiavone and Jesse the Body Ventura and heel Jerry Lawler. You know, he had these more, you know, heel-like, cut-dry color commentators to work with, and that type of style doesn't really exist, not just in WWE, but really in wrestling anymore. So they weren't using him
that well, you know. I mean, I grew up watching him. I have more than enough VHS tapes, you know, WCW and WWF of JR, so I'm by no means going to miss him. I don't mean that in a negative way, because if I want to hear JR, I can just put in an old Super Brawl tape, you know. It's like when you've heard someone so much, you just, you know, you just kind of, you never forget what they sound like. So, you know, I think this isn't the end for JR. I think if they ever do that network thing that they've been trying to do for how long, you know, if they end up doing some legend show or something, they'll definitely need JR. You know, I thought that that roundtable show on WWE 24/7 with JR was pretty good. So, so.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I mean, if you think about it, though, that storytelling thing, JR is pretty much the godfather of storytelling. Like, he's the guy that taught Michael Cole every damn thing he knows. When Joey Styles was a commentator there, he was teaching Joey Styles everything he knows. Who was in the headset talking to Joey Styles, Vince McMahon and Jim Ross? Same with Michael Cole all those years. When Michael Cole took over for a little bit from JR in the late 90s, JR was backstage giving Michael Cole all the advice in the world, feeding him lines, doing his thing. Jim Ross is the man who he can call the wrestling moves, and he does. He calls the action. But there is no better storyteller in professional wrestling history, as far as it comes to announcers, than Jim Ross. That guy can tell a fucking story. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, I'm glad that he, at least if he's getting, if it's true that he was actually fired or it was some kind of negative type way, hell, at least they're spinning it in a positive way. There's nothing negative coming out of it. And the freaking marks and the fans out there that I'm arguing with on Twitter who think they know fucking everything, who just believe every little thing that Dave Meltzer tells them. Like, it's not within the realm of possibility that Dave Meltzer is making up some bullshit, so you click on his freaking links to his website and click on the ads and all that bullshit to get thousands upon thousands of visitors a day. It's not within the realm of possibility that these news sites that copy and paste the same news from site to site to site to site to site are just copying speculation and complete, utter nonsense. You know what I mean? So I feel like if Jim Ross retired, even if it wasn't on his own merit, he retired. He's done it the right way. He's given so much to the professional wrestling business. And believe it or not, he ain't done. And if Dixie Carter has a fucking brain in her head, which I think, personally, I think she does. I think she's smarter than we think she is. If she is smarter than we think, she will fucking take whatever money she was paying Hogan, whatever money she was paying Sting, if those guys leave, whoever, and say, Jim Ross, come in here and fix this, because he would. He's still got it in the tank. He's in the best shape he's been in probably the past 20 years. If you look at him, if you saw the picture of him with the Wolfpack on the Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Facebook page, you will see that Jim Ross is in absolutely phenomenal condition for a guy his age and his body type and yada, 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 eating barbecue all the time and whatnot. So good for Jim Ross. I applaud Jim Ross on a fantastic career in the professional wrestling business. John, let's hear your take on this, man.
Yeah, I don't think he was fired. I don't buy any of that. If you were going to fire somebody for that incident, you wouldn't wait 2.5 weeks to do so. I do think it was maybe a combination of him, you know, it being time for him to go, and maybe them just realizing, what does he really do for us anymore? You know, the reason why, and I mean, listen, if you screw up at your job and you know, you get fired, I don't know any company that will fire you for performance and give you a massive severance package. I don't know a job that will fire you for performance and still sell your product. I don't know anyone that gets fired from a job for performance and still puts the company over. I mean, he's still talking about all the guys at NXT. He just tweeted something, I think, yesterday about, like, Sami Zayn and whatnot. If you were fired so terribly and so abruptly, you're not going to, you know, go out and, you know, put over people in the company, I think it was just kind of like a time thing. Like, you know, what are we paying X amount of dollars for, you know, every year for?
Absolutely.
I think as far as TNA goes, if he went to TNA, I think
John, sorry, man. We got to go off the air now. We're the English lady on Blog Talk Radio is counting me down. Thanks so much. We'll pick it up right there next week, John, man. Sorry to cut you off. But we're going to have a show live here next week here on Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio. Thanks to Jorge Santi. Thanks to Will Tof and John. The time construction thing on Blog Talk Radio is all messed up tonight. It says we have 3 minutes left. We actually got about 10 seconds. So this is Jersey Strong Jay signing off. Pro Wrestling Powerhouse Radio, episode number 53. 53? Is it 53? Yeah, 53 is in the books. Thanks so much for joining us, and keep it real, everybody.